Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, and all those who are tuning in across the world. We are blessed to have the whole team of On the Objective with us today, Sergeant Tim, John Robertson, and Pastor Mike Spaulding. This is Stephen Menking, and we're going to be discussing a great many things and topics that are particularly relevant. We haven't spoken since the inauguration of our President Donald Trump, and there's plenty of things to talk about. So without further ado, this is the On the Objective Network. This is our roundtable for February 4th, 2017. Pastor Mike, would you do us the privilege of taking it away with a blessing?
Certainly. Father, we bow our heads and our hearts thankful for you, for the salvation that you've given us through faith in Christ, and thankful, Father, for these assignments that you've blessed us with, called us to, and equipped us, Father, to perform. We ask your blessing upon this conversation, and we ask, Lord, that the things that we have to say tonight would also be encouraging to those that will listen. We love you, Father, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, John, would you mind starting us off with a bit of your perspective on what's going on in the media, how Christians should respond? What do we have to do right here, right now, in this moment to enact the kind of solutions that we want to see? And maybe even start with giving us a bit of background about your new term, optical dissonance, which I think is right on the money.
Well, Stephen, thank you so much. And Pastor Mike and Tim, it's just a blessing to join my brothers here this afternoon on The Objective. By way of quick introduction for those listening who are not familiar with who I am. My name is John Robertson, recently relocated out of Hollywood, California, up to the Olympic Peninsula in Washington State, a 16-year veteran of feature film and television production, as well as terrestrial radio, having worked a number of years with Salem at the KKLA Christian Talk Station in Los Angeles. And I'm just really excited to be on The Objective today. And as you mentioned, Stephen, to talk about optical dissonance. And folks, optical dissonance is very simply when you are witnessing something, whether it's been filtered through the mainstream media narrative or whether it is a raw data feed coming at you through social media, Periscope, Ustream, etc. It is very wise to be apprised of the concept of optical dissonance. What you are looking at may, in fact, and oftentimes is dramatically different from what you are seeing. And this has been planned and formulated and calibrated in Hollywood, in New York, in other major media metropolitan areas for many, many years to create an emotion and to create a thought process so that the following day, any number of people will parrot around the water cooler, if you will, the narrative that the mainstream media, or in many cases, the frontline media, the alternative digital media, would have you promote. So optical dissonance is, again, it's weighing and using discernment and judging what you are looking at and what you are, in fact, seeing. And by way of some background, optical dissonance really began, in my opinion, to become very profound during the coverage of 9/11, and certainly by the time we all witnessed Sandy Hook and sat there scratching our heads wondering what on earth were we seeing and why were there so many loose ends in that news, in those news cycles, we really began to be just pummeled by optical dissonance. And I will also add quickly that with the recent riot, with the conflagration in Sproul Plaza at UC Berkeley 3 evenings ago, that ultimately shut down the Milo speech, what we saw through the mainstream media appeared to be a protest that just ran a tad bit amok. However, for those who watched these optics coming through social media, what we saw were the mainstream media sequestered in a sort of quote-unquote safe space, while the black bloc contingent of protesters worked with military precision to riot and to create mayhem. And I'll pause there for now and hand it back to you, Stephen.
Thanks, John, for that introduction. And to focus our attention a bit further on the UC Berkeley incident, Tim, would you mind giving us a bit of background on your latest article and what your thoughts are from the military intelligence kind of strategic perspective? Maybe there's an angle here that everyone might be missing. What do you think?
Well, first of all, thank you, Stephen. And I'm just so happy to be here with all three of you guys, my brothers in Christ. I think that they're, especially for someone who has seen as much military training, participated in military training, whenever you look at some of the video that was coming out, especially from the independent and citizen journalists across social media, in terms of this last protest, but also going back to previous protests and riots as well, one of the things that stuck out in my mind is the, as John alluded to, the military precision that these guys operated with. Certainly there are people within the crowds who don't have that military training. What I refer to in my article, and the article is up on Outlaw Patriot News, called Reprieve or Ruin. But what I refer to as kind of the flashbang fodder, they're the ones that are disorganized, running around. You know, maybe they actually believe in the cause or whatever, but there are certainly people within those groups that, in my mind, could possibly be military implants, at least people with military backgrounds, who are working in a kind of, you know, they're working with muscle memory, they're working with a precision in coordinated actions that you just don't get by saying, hey, let's go do this. It's got to be stuff that's rehearsed over and over again. Personally, I think, and we can get into this more later if you guys would like, but I personally think that you are looking at some people within these groups that probably have a strong military background and are probably the ones that are, if they're paid protesters, they're probably making a little more than the $9 an hour I've seen, and probably you guys have seen too, advertised there on Craigslist for paid protesters. But I really think that this is a point in our country. We've come to a point where and I think this is what we're going to get into as this broadcast goes on, is if we as a country don't stand up to this, then we are looking at a situation where it's going to continue, because they're not facing any repercussions for these actions. And with that, I'll turn that back over to you, Stephen, also, and we can get into the meat of this.
Well, thanks so much, Tim. It really is good to have your perspective as someone who has experience and can see these signs, certainly much clearer than I can. From what I can tell, it looks like there are smaller groups of people who are trained and have some paramilitary type experience and have been provided for and funded and are being maneuvered around the country to various kinds of events and garnering a lot of attention. Now, you know, one could argue that there's a certain extent to which that's backfiring, but you see all sorts of bizarre narratives in keeping with the optical dissonance line, John, that you've so astutely pointed out. What's interesting for me, and I'll turn this over to you, Pastor Mike, is that the reaction to these kinds of events is anything from over-the-top anger to heartbreak. There's no neutral response possible. But I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, what we're seeing perhaps from the church, at least from cultural Christianity, might be a tendency to put things aside and just kind of go about our daily affairs when there really is a need to stand up and to do something. So what do you think, Pastor Mike, as a pastor, as someone who leads a congregation and shepherds the flock, what's on your heart and what are you doing in order to make sure the people who are sitting under your leadership are of the right mindset and have the right approach to dealing with and responding to these often violent and potentially horrific scenarios.
Yeah, that's a perfect segue, Stephen. And I know that some of our listeners will think, wow, these guys really have a tight script on this conversation. And the truth is, we do not. This is the Holy Spirit moving and working and leading in the questions and the comments. And I'm just amazed because John's comments, Sergeant Tim's comments, and now your introduction, Stephen, I mean, that's a beautiful script. But this is unscripted. Believe me, folks, very unscripted. To answer your question, Stephen, and really play off of what John and Sergeant Tim said, is I've been encouraging pastors and other ministry leaders that I've talked to and have been on a couple of shows with recently. I've been encouraging folks, especially pastors and ministry leaders, to preach the news. And you guys already know what that means because you've heard me talk about this before. But what pastors need to be doing is they need to be relating the events that are unfolding right in front of our eyes today and relate those back to the scriptures and tie all of that together and give an explanation and some understanding to people. Because I can tell you something, the people that are sitting in the pews, they want to know what in the world is going on. And most, the average Christian today that attends church faithfully, brings their family, sits in the pew, listens to the sermon week after week after week, most of them, and I would say, I hesitate to use overwhelming majority, but I would say a majority, they have no clue. They're scratching their head wondering what kind of craziness has gripped this world. Well, pastors and ministry leaders and Bible teachers, you have really an obligation to connect the dots for people and help them to understand what's going on in the world today. So that's the first thing that I would do, was encourage men and women to be talking scripturally or scripturally minded, be talking about these events that are happening, unfolding from a biblical worldview, from a Christian theistic worldview. And we can talk more about that if it comes up later in the program, Stephen. But that's the first place to start. Just preach the news. Start talking about what's going on. The reason the church has got itself into the mess that it's in today, one of many, is that pastors refuse to address this craziness, the rioters and the protesting and the whole political machinations that we see going on. Many pastors, they shy away from that because they don't want to offend people. And I got news for you. Jesus Christ is an offense to all of those that are perishing. Jesus said himself that I am a rock of offense and a stumbling stone. And so pastors, Bible teachers, Christians, we need to understand that going in and not let that silence us. So shake off the shackles and the chains of political correctness and start speaking the truth. That'd be my first encouragement. And I'll hand it back to you, Stephen.
Amen.
Thanks, Pastor Mike. I think that's very well put and extremely important. In part, right here, right now, I think there is an invective that needs to go out, because if this doesn't take place and various pastors and other evangelical leaders wait too long until this escalates to the point where there's literally no way for them to ignore it anymore and people are vocally clamoring for answers and standing up during sermons and demanding that these things be addressed, by that time it's too late. So that's you already have to get out in front of that and be seen as someone who is willing to talk about these things, who's willing to engage, and who is providing scriptural answers. But that requires dedication, study, pressing into the Lord, the willingness to be led by the Holy Spirit into these things.
Yes.
But I think people in general are getting closer and closer to the point where they're sick of any information source that is not filling them up. And because we have the tools and the spiritual food and the Word of God that people need on a daily basis, it's a travesty and it's a terrible thing when that isn't being delivered to God's people. And I think Amen. This ties in nicely to, John, something that perhaps you can talk about with your media experience. It seems to me that the mainstream media is going obsolete, and that's why I call them the obsolete media. And we're rapidly hitting this point that we've been sort of pushing on for the past year or so. But it seems like it's about to spill over into the point where there's literally two versions of reality. And the people who are in the middle, the people who are independent, don't care much about politics or things like that, will eventually be stirred in their conscience and in their common sense that we just can't keep going in this direction. And that is when there will be this sort of collective move into real seeking of truth. And I'm optimistic that this is going to take place. And that's in part why we're putting this whole effort together, to provide one of many just outlets where people can go to hear an unfiltered discussion from different perspectives about the truth of events that are taking place in real time and in our generation. Can you speak a bit to the trends that you see in media in terms of people perhaps leaving the primary institutional outlets and going elsewhere? What do you see taking place in that landscape?
Well, Stephen, thank you so much. And if I may, before I answer the question, by way of a quick bit of housekeeping, I'm going to go around the horn quickly and introduce our listeners to each of your respective platforms with your permission, Stephen, and then I'll answer the question.
Go right ahead.
Thank you very much. Folks, you're on the objective, joining Stephen Menking, John Robertson, myself, Pastor Mike Spaulding, and Sergeant Tim. Sergeant Tim is a 20-year veteran of one of our four primary branches of the armed services. He served in many different and unique capacities, including that of a translator and linguist, as well as a international weapons inspector and part of a weapons inspection team. Folks, he's also the founder and senior editor of Outlaw Patriot News, outlawpatriotnews.com. Pastor Mike Spaulding is our spiritual advisor. He's our brother and our mentor in Christ. He is also the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel in Lima, Ohio. And he is the host of a fantastic podcast that's been up for quite a while now, bringing in some really A-list guests. And that's Soaring Eagle Radio, soaringeagleradio.com. Our host this afternoon is Stephen Menking, the founder and host of the weekly Open Forum Amateur Society that kicks off every Monday evening at 8 o'clock Eastern. Amateur Society. You can find it on Facebook as well as just simply doing a Google search. And lastly, I am John Robertson. I am the producer of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We broadcast live Monday through Friday on three live platforms from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock Eastern. HagmanReport.com. Two N's on Hagman. That's HAGMANN Report.com. And you can find our live platforms as well as original content at HagmanReport.com from the gentleman that I joined here this afternoon, as well as many other fantastic writers. Thank you for letting me do that little bit of housekeeping, Stephen. And to answer the question, we really have to stop and consider that we are in a powerful and potentially very dangerous dynamic as a country right now, because it would be very easy to run on hyper-emotionalism, and rather than examine things through the perspective of scripture and God's law, as well as the United States Constitution and natural law, it is easy for either side of this incredible ideological chasm, if you will, to capitulate over to what their emotional motivation would have them do. And so we must be very careful on our team, so to speak, that we don't allow the optical dissonance to encourage us to fly off the reservation in the frontline digital media, in the alternative media, in what I believe is becoming the true media, and run on speculation, run on emotionally driven hyperbole, but rather to take a breath, tap the brakes, and understand that we are being given the platform that we are experiencing today because the mainstream media, or as I've been calling them, the fake stream media, have made the dramatic error of capitulating over into hyper-emotionalism and, frankly, a myopia that I think was well articulated by the New York Times film critic Pauline Kael, who said, I believe it was Nixon's second election in 1972. She said something to the effect, I'm paraphrasing, how did Nixon win? I don't know anyone that voted for him. Well, Pauline, you're living on the Upper West Side of Manhattan and, frankly, moving around in a media bubble. Same with people living in Hollywood. So it's very easy to think, how on earth did this Trump thing happen? Well, I don't know anybody that voted for him. Well, if you're living in downtown Portland day in and day out, of course you don't. But there's a big country out there, folks. Now, back to this optical dissonance. What I mean with my caution is it would be very easy, for example, Pastor Mike, to parade the entire Calvary Chapel congregation out to one of these events, realizing that the optics will be very powerful if, God forbid, we saw 20 or 30 Christian brothers and sisters whacked over the head with, a 2-inch dowel rod or sprayed in the face with grizzly spray. That's going to tune up the American church. And whereas I personally feel that the American church could use a little bit of a tune up right now, I would suggest caution, because we must approach this through a lens of scripture and God's law, as well as through the secondary but incredibly important lens of our Constitution and natural law. And with that being said, I'll pass it to you, Stephen. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Pastor Mike, I think it's a good time to get your thoughts on what John just said, because I feel like there is a sense of potential paralysis where people are trying to get organized and endeavors are trying to get put together on a bunch of different levels and in a bunch of different locations. But in order for the blessing of God to be commanded, we really do have to be unified. But it seems an almost impossible task. Thank God that with God all things are possible. But just from a practical standpoint, Pastor Mike, you know, what's the most important thing that Christians need to do right now spiritually?
Well, if we're speaking to pastors, they need to be prayerfully considering how they're going to present this great need to their fellowships. Because the fact of the matter is, brothers, most American fellowships would run frantically screaming from any type of confrontation. So the first thing that needs to happen is pastors need to be in prayer, not if to do it, but how to do it. Lord, give me the steps. Show me how I can present this information that I can encourage, equip, and embolden these brothers and sisters, these dear brothers and sisters that you've placed under my watch care, my spiritual watch care. Show me the steps. And then they've got to start speaking about these things from the pulpit. Now, this is going to be shocking to a good many Christians, because they're used to coming in on Sunday morning. It's the calmest time, the time of the day when folks come in and really they put it in autopilot. And the only thing that they would realize is an issue is if something went out of order from the bulletin. Well, their world's going to be shaken, and in my opinion, it needs to be. And so pastors are going to need to understand, okay, how do I present what's going on? How do I begin to teach my people that the Bible has much more to say than Noah floated around in an ark and then settled down and populated the world, and everybody lives happily ever after. If we know and understand the scriptures, the end time scenario that we talk about all the time, then we ought to be able to see these things are starting to manifest right in front of our eyes. And how do we prepare people? Well, we take them right back to the scripture, and all of these things that are happening, Paul's letter to Timothy, the book of Revelation, one of the least studied, most misunderstood books, is really a key to what's coming. And so, pastors, that's the first place. Then ministry leaders, you need to be equipping those on your staff and Bible teachers. You need to be talking to people about these events, and you need to be showing them in the scripture where it says these things are going to come, they're going to happen, and we're seeing them. So one of the biggest obstacles, let me wrap all of this up and I'll pass it back, Stephen. One of the biggest obstacles for church leaders is that they have got to come up with a plan. What steps are we going to take to equip our people, expose them to this? Because again, the truth is that the vast number of churches in America, they've not been exposed to this, and many of them don't want to because they're afraid. Well, knowledge overcomes fear, and so I would encourage people to to start talking about this within their congregations. And then it's not enough just to talk and inform. It's okay to have knowledge, but wisdom is putting that knowledge into action. So then you need to get up out of the pew and you need to get out into the city wherever you live, and you need to begin expressing a Christian point of view in contrast to all of the other point of views that are out there. Let me give you an example of this. If there is an abortion clinic in your city, I think you should organize folks and go out there on a fairly regular basis. And who knows, but you might have an opportunity to engage a young woman who is distraught over what she's contemplating, who is approaching this decision with a broken heart, and what she really needs is to be encouraged to step back, think about this, and maybe come to a different conclusion. What a wonderful thing that would be for a Christian to turn someone away from that tragedy. There are other places. I remember a few months ago, I joined Coach Dave at one of his spiritual boot camps, and about 20 guys, 20 men that were there, we went out to a strip club that night to try and talk to patrons who were going in and turn them away from that. Now, that's not for the weak-hearted or the weak-kneed, because you're going to run into some folks that aren't going to like you being there. But the point is this: there are all kinds of opportunities for Christians to go out and actually do the word, not just be hearers of it, but be doers of it as well. So I could go on, but I'll pass it back to you at this point, Stephen.
Well, that's great commentary, Pastor Mike. I really do appreciate that perspective. One thing I'm maybe a tiny bit concerned with is somebody clipping that strip club audio segment and making it sound like the wrong thing was taking place. But, you know, we'll leave it in the Lord's hands for
mean,
that one.
What do you mean somebody? I'm going to clip that. It's going on YouTube here in a hot second.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
I did that, actually. I'll just say this, and then excuse the interruption. But the Sunday before that weekend, when I was going down, I announced from the pulpit, "Hey, I'm going to be at Coach Dave's spiritual boot camp, and we're going to be encouraging the guys. Then we're going to go out to a strip club Saturday night." And then I went on, and I didn't elaborate on that. All of a sudden, I realized the look.
Bunch of single dollar bills in the plate that morning.
Yeah. The look on people's faces. I said, no, wait a minute. Let me elaborate on that a little bit. We're going to be turning people away from the demonic oppression that kind of a place offers. That's what we're there to break the bondage of lust and pornography and adultery and all of those things. So there, back to you, Stephen.
Words matter, Pastor Mike, and the order of words matter and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, the clarification is greatly appreciated. Jesus, of course, did fellowship with publicans and sinners, but it was for the purpose of instilling repentance and salvation and drawing that sin out and allowing them to make that decision to put that away. So it's good work, and it needs to be done, because from my perspective, it's imperative now that people see that there is another option, that there is another truth. Most people who are just generic secular worldview, worldly mindset folks who've never encountered Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior have perhaps a wildly warped perspective on Christianity based on a few different primary cultural markers and different kinds of opinions, whether it's experts or the problems in the with pedophilia in the Catholic Church and different kind of scandals that have taken place. And people are very off-put by that generally, but that's not what real Christianity is. And so in order for us to win people to Christ and to advance the kingdom of God, we have to be representing the authentic Christian life and present it the way that it is, as the real abundant life that Christ offers us, that you can be free from the bondage of sin, and that it's the best thing that's ever happened to you to make that decision to go Amen. With God and to accept the free gift of salvation and eternal life through Christ Jesus. And so if we're not being authentic, real people out there saying, you don't want to do this, there's a better way, then we're failing ourselves, and we will be taken into account for that. But to switch gears a little bit, Sergeant Tim, one of the most bizarre things that I've heard over the past week was various people calling for a military coup and the assassination of Trump on Twitter. I guess that's less surprising. But the military coup thing was totally out of the blue. I thought to myself, these people really must not have any touch on what's going on in terms of the military personnel, different kinds of things, and they must be in a bubble, like John was saying. It's worth noting, John, that I am on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, so there's at least one person around here who, you know, might not be plugged
I know
into
you are.
Quite that feedback mechanism. Yeah, I suspected you were baiting me with that. But at any rate, yeah, trolling aside, Sergeant Tim, what's the deal with that? Are these people just totally unaware of what's going on in the military? Is there a background dynamic where there are multiple different forces at play within the Pentagon or everything? I mean, I don't know how closely you can speak on this, but what's your feeling overall for the alignment of the military as it pertains to what's going on both civilly and politically in our nation right now?
Well, first of all, I think it kind of goes into what John was talking about a moment ago, is there is this type of echo chamber, whether you're talking about the media, because I know the person who came out and that I saw that came out and talked about that, I think her name is Sarah Silverman, supposed comedian, although I've never seen her be funny, but she came out and called for the military to stage a coup against Donald Trump. And it's because, as John was talking about, you have these people who everyone they know has the exact same view that they do, and they don't talk to anyone outside of their little echo chamber of other actors, maybe producers, directors, and so on, who even if they do hold a different view, they hold their tongue for fear of losing their jobs. And what they forget is, outside of, you know, the Northeast, and no offense to you, Stephen, but outside of the Northeast and the West Coast there, you have those flyover states. And I've spent most of my life in the flyover states, and born and raised in them. And the people there are a lot different than what I've seen, both on the East Coast and the West Coast. I spent quite a bit of time on the West Coast. And they're outside of that echo chamber. And a lot of times, you know, as an example, and I was talking to John about this earlier. I was in an office the other day, and an older gentleman, retired vet, and he had Ben-Hur on TV, and I was sitting there watching it with him for a second. And he said, yeah, I'm supposed to have the news on in here because it's a government office. He said, but I can't stand watching any more of these riots and protests off out there in San Francisco or Washington, D.C. or whatever. He's like, that has absolutely no bearing on me. And that's the way a lot of the people in the flyover states feel. And I honestly feel like that's probably the reason. Well, it is the reason why I made the statement that independent media is going to put the mainstream media out of business this year. They may still be around, but they're definitely not going to have the viewership that they've had and the control that they've had over the minds of the American people over the last few years. That being said, I work now, even though I'm retired, I work with quite a few military people and a lot of younger military people. And the general consensus amongst them is that Trump is probably the best thing that has ever happened to our government in their lifetimes. Most of them aren't old enough to remember the Reagan years or even the Clinton years or any of that. You know, they were small children during the Clinton years. But even they have felt over the last, few years and the early parts of their careers that the man that has been their commander in chief has not been representative of their views, nor has he done very much to help them out. And they look at these protesters, and I'll tell another short story and then I'll give it back to you. But they look at these protesters, and I was having a conversation with a young man the other day, and we were talking about it, and I started telling him my views on them and some of the evidence that's out there of who's funding these things, that they're not totally organic protests, that they're paid protesters, and they're orchestrated in areas where they know that they'll have the least amount of resistance from the people around them. And, you know, we finished our conversation. We went home over the weekend. He came up to me on Monday morning, and he let me know that whereas he kind of took what I had said with a grain of salt, over the weekend, his sister, who is a very big liberal leftist, she'd called him up, and her husband had gotten a job, and she was going to celebrate that with him. And so he started asking questions about the job, and he had answered one of these Craigslist ads for a paid protester. And the young man said, you know, it automatically clicked, and I went back to everything that you were saying. And this for me just confirmed everything. And that's the thing that is really kind of, I feel like, our duty in this, as people who kind of understand, you know, John understands the media side of it. I'll be honest with you, I didn't think much about paid protesters here in the U.S. until I saw it firsthand in several locations overseas. And whenever I saw the exact same tactics and the same organization and setup being done here, I said, hey, that's exactly what I saw in Ukraine, or that's exactly what I saw in Russia. And so, you know, I'm able to bring that experience. Pastor Mike, he has experience both within the military as well as from the pulpit. And Stephen, you have the economic background. I think that the four of us can take issues and break it down like nobody else can. And I think that that's our duty. And I'm so glad that we've gotten started on this. And with that, I'll just pass it back over to you, Stephen.
Well, amen, Tim. I'm right there in agreement with you, and thanks for that. In terms of what we're seeing, the paid protesting, the agent provocateur, these sort of deliberate agitators, I think it can go in a couple different directions. I mean, it's clear that the overriding objective is a perception management campaign where people are intimidated into submission and to appeasement based on the actions of a few. Now, I'm sure and I'm aware of, and you can see in the footage, that there are people who were peacefully protesting, who weren't violent, who were simply trying to express their views and taking, you know, they have a right to assembly. They're using that and speaking their minds, and that's totally legitimate. What's not legitimate, of course, is the indiscriminate beatings and violence and the paramilitary kind of activities where people get hurt. And it creates, John, of course, back to your point, this tremendous optical dissonance where on one hand you have people advocating for women's rights, and right on the other side of the corner, you have people who are macing women in the face and punching people and hitting them with sticks. It's quite ridiculous. And so the chaos and the confusion and the conditioning here is, at least in part, in my view, intended to push people into submission and just to say, well, all right, just give these people what they want and we'll go away. But I don't think that that's going to happen, in part because of the independent media and the availability of different kind of outlets. We see Twitter and Reddit and Facebook and Google and all of these different big social kind of engines arriving at a coordinated action and coming out at the same time to ban certain forms in the name of political correctness, to censor certain outlets, to drop accounts, to curate the way that people see the news in terms of editing the search rankings and all sorts of different things. And you see people who are in journalists of good standing, or people who are in positions in academia, redefining hate speech from actual physical violence to anything that they disagree with. And at a certain point, something is going to give. I don't know when that's going to take place, and I don't know where it's going to take place, but you have a sneaking suspicion that you can feel how it's going to take place. There's just going to be one of these events and one of these things, and it's going to get out of hand, and there's going to be a bit too much violence, and we're going to have another Kent State on our hands. And that's going to be a titanic disaster, because at that point it will be a true pick your side on one side of the fence or the other, and each side will be like, it's hard to imagine a scenario where this division doesn't have to go through an escalation process before it reaches its denouement. But I think that battle ultimately, and John, I'm hoping you can speak to this, will be fought and won in the minds and the hearts of the American populace, in those flyover states where the bulk of the population actually is, with people saying, you know, enough of this nonsense. We have to enact solutions, but hopefully not the kind of overreaching solutions that lead to just another form of tyranny in the name of control and safety. So we have to stand up to preserve our rights, but we have to do it in a careful way. What do you think, John, about this notion that it really is the perception that matters, and that despite the fact that a small amount of people can create a powerful enough perception to scare or intimidate some into doing nothing, that power on behalf of the obsolete mainstream media is waning and will eventually flip in the other direction? Any comments there?
Absolutely, Stephen. Thank you so much. I've been chewing the inside of my cheek for the last 5 minutes because my passion is becoming inflamed with a number of the points that have been made across the roundtable here today. And I'd like to begin first by segueing off your metaphor using the disaster of the Titanic. A couple of weeks ago, I was having a conversation offline with dark journalist Daniel List, and he made an excellent point. We were discussing the deep state, and we were really trying to break through our own respective sort of myopic points of view, being so close to the forest that it is sometimes often, in fact, difficult to see the trees, and really break down the concept of the deep state so that it would be accessible and digestible to those who are not familiar with the term. And the metaphor that dark journalist used was the Titanic and the iceberg metaphor, frankly, a played out metaphor, but nonetheless, it worked. And we agreed together that the deep state is not a single tip of the iceberg. The deep state is more like navigating your vessel into a very dangerous ice flow, because the deep state is commandeered and it encapsulates so many of the primary industrial engines that motivate our opinions and our actions. A couple of obvious ones being central top-down government control, whether it's from Washington, D.C. or your respective state. The stranglehold control over the mainstream media, as handed down by News Corp, Time Warner, et cetera. You've got the international banking cartels, and they really do, folks, control your wallet and your purse. And so what we need to understand, the first piece of battle rattle that you must strap on before anything else is your Ephesians 6, 12, and 13 armor. Why? Because the bottom line is this. You may, and I will speak personally, as I did for many years of my life, you may have issues with the milquetoast sort of compromised Christianity that you were raised in, or that you may have had some form of first blush encounter with. And I'm going to ask Pastor Mike to speak on this when I'm finished, with your permission, Stephen. But I'll tell you what, folks, if you don't have the discernment that you are sealed within when you accept Christ as your Savior, without that discernment, you have zero light meter on the scene that you are witnessing. Zero. Because the aggregated deep state and their power and their components that day after day after day are learning to work more symbiotically. They're learning to work more like the angry collectivist hive that they strive to become under the whole New World Order concept. If you don't have that Holy Spirit discernment alive in you, you are going to get creamed. You're going to be befuddled and you're going to be duped. Now, I want to speak quickly about the darkness that has descended on this country. Folks, it is clear to anyone with eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that can feel it. Darkness has descended upon this land. It permeates our minds daily vis-a-vis the optics that we see, be they from mainstream media or the alternative media. We cannot allow that same darkness to permeate and descend upon our hearts. That's the key. There may come a moment in time where Christian men like the four that are gathered around this table today on the objective have to step forward and defend the defenseless. But there's a difference between defending the defenseless because it is your duty as a Christian man and a man of honor versus doing so with murder or with rage or with violence in your heart. Now, when we looked at Berkeley the other night, bad news. The rioters, I'm hesitant to even call them protesters, the rioters, Black Bloc, they won that battle. I don't believe they'll win the war, but they won that battle. Why? Because the fake stream media was complicit in the optics in the presentation of that event. They were off to the east side of the Martin Luther King Jr. Student Center. They had perfect camera placement to capture all of this behavior. The fire extinguishers, the Roman candles, the turning the police barricades into battering rams. They've even got great optics of some of the Black Bloc cutting the zip ties that bind the barricades together to provide the next wave of Black Bloc with the battering rams they need to continue. This goes back to Tim's comment about the precision of their technique. The camera, folks, is an eye. But the camera and the gun have many things in common. They both aim, they both shoot, and they can both, frankly, be deadly. You need to use your Ephesians 6, 12 and 13 spiritual armor. You need the discernment that the Holy Spirit guarantees you are sealed in when you accept Jesus Christ. That must be your camera lens. That must be your filter when you observe these things. Quickly, back to Berkeley. If the fake stream media, CBS, ABC, channels 5 and 7 locally, in fact, if they had positioned themselves on the other side of the Martin Luther King Jr. Student Center, what you would have seen instead of all of the Black Bloc tactical precision, you would have actually seen, and some people caught this on social media, you would have seen what effectively looked like a protest that got a little out of hand. So again, the camera can be deadly, and we must have that discernment. It is the only, and believe me, folks, I've searched far and wide since I coined optical dissonance a month ago. It is the only tool I have been able to locate that can blow through optical dissonance. And remember, and then I'll pass it back to you, Stephen. Remember, folks, optical dissonance is ambiguous. It is politically unbiased. It can be used and used to ill effect and used to a peak deceptive effect by either side. With that being said, Stephen, I'll hand it back to you.
Thanks, John. Pastor Mike, do you want to jump in here and provide some additional commentary on what Christians can do, where they should be going for their information? Just everyday people who just attend church regularly and are tapped in or not tapped in. What should we be focused on right now?
Yeah, I want to really do a follow-up with what John had to say. This passage in Ephesians chapter 6 is really key to our being faithful and fruitful in the day that we find ourselves living in. And this applies whether you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ by faith or whether you're not. It applies equally to all of us in this sense, and that is this. Because we're called to stand against every form of evil wherever it's found. Now, we're called to do that as disciples of Jesus. But also, those that don't profess Christ, you have some kind of inkling that, John, I'll hat tip to you for bringing this up. You live your life as if natural law is true and binds all of humanity to recognize and live by. And I'm not going to go into the whole theological discussion about natural law, but it just basically is the rights that we all have as humans under nature. And again, I'm not going to go off into that, but this applies equally. And so I want to just read Ephesians 6 quickly and make a couple of comments. John mentioned it a couple of times, and it's a great passage for where we are today. Starting at verse 10 of chapter 6 of Ephesians, says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." So right there is the reason, the basis for what John was saying, that we need to suit up every day. Every day we need to put on the full armor of God. And the reason for that is because there is a demonic force that is using different schemes and methodologies, plans. We're seeing them manifested. Berkeley is a perfect example, but long before that. And so we are called to stand against that. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So there's the source of the turmoil. There's the source of the darkness that has gripped the United States. It is demonic. "Therefore, take up the full armor of God," verse 13, "so that you will be able to resist in the evil day." Well, we're living in that evil day right now. So, Christian, put on the full armor so that you can resist. "And having done everything to stand firm." Now, that's a key phrase that often gets overlooked. But that having done everything, that means having done everything to prepare to stand firm. So there's a challenge for believers and non-believers to stand against this present darkness that we find ourselves in America. Tim, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. I look at the state of where we're at in this country, and I think back to other points in history. And one of the points in history that I think back to is back in the Middle Ages, whenever you had a similar situation. You know, darkness had settled across the land, and I do think we have to put on our Ephesians 6 armor, and that is the most important piece of equipment that we have. But I would also remind people, you know, there's a reason why those knightly orders were founded. And one of the core beliefs of those knightly orders was to protect the weak and the defenseless. You know, the root of all of that was going back to our Christian brethren going to the Holy Land as pilgrims and being attacked by Muslim invaders. And so they set up these orders to protect them from those that would do them harm. And I'm not saying that people should go out and look for fights or go out and look for trouble. But I would remind people that you have the right to defend yourself. And you have the right to defend those that can't defend themselves. And absolutely, I think that it is one of our duties, not only as a Christian, but as a citizen of this country, that when we see people that are defenseless, that can't defend themselves, whether it be because they're elderly or whether it be because they're outnumbered, that is your duty and your obligation, both as a Christian and as a citizen of this country, to help them out of that situation. And I'll pass that back over to you, Stephen.
Amen. Thanks for that, Tim. That's a really important component of
Amen.
What we're going into here and what we're going in through, particularly as we look at the variety of different scenarios that could result in an assorted degree of civil unrest. We already see a certain level of that, but how far it can escalate before more serious and substantial measures are taken, I'm not so sure. I wouldn't expect it to persist for much longer without a greater degree of backlash, either on the ground or from the government as well. In a press conference, Sean Spicer said that the Trump administration knows who these people are, essentially. Then you could ask the question, well, what's taking so long? Can we just get to the bottom of this and lock everyone up? Well, perhaps, but there might be a larger game being played behind the scenes. There's certainly so much going on and so many variables to juggle that I pray for Donald Trump, for his walk with Christ, for his protection for our nation. But I don't envy the man. That is not a job that I would want to have in any way, shape, or form. So there are so many things in play, whether we're talking about Iran or we're talking about the banking system, or we're talking about the Fed, or we're talking about Antifa, or we're talking about the church, or we're talking about Mexico. There's just, it seems like there's this torrent of resistance, this torrent of tension. But for me, I think it's important at this point in time to respond and relate that we should always take the time, and I need it every day. This is not just some academic or intellectual response or point. I need every day to encourage myself in the Lord, to spend time in the Word and in prayer, and so that I can be filled up again with the Holy Spirit. Because without that, like John was saying, like Pastor Mike was saying, like Sergeant Tim was saying, if we aren't full, if we don't have our full spiritual nourishment, then it doesn't matter about how strong we are, about how physically capable we are. If we don't have the courage and the joy of the Lord to know what's right and to do it, then we will never be able to stand up and defeat this powerful enemy and these spiritual forces that are opposing us and that are opposing law, order, peace, and security in our country. However, it's critical for us to take all of these things into account and to stand up. But we have to stand up in the right way. And it takes a rock solid faith and a constant connection to our Lord Jesus Christ in order for us to have that kind of boldness and the strength that we need to model the authentic Christian life in this generation, to be there on the objective when we're called, and to hear that still small voice and to respond in obedience the same way that Christ did. So we have a standard that's set before us that is incredibly high, but the same thing was true right before the American Revolution. The pastors led the way, and the faithful Christians followed. And it's up to each and every one of us to get out there, to have all hands on deck, and to participate. Do what you're called to do. Do what you can. And press into the Lord. Spend time in the Word, in prayer, and in fasting. And follow the Holy Spirit. I can promise you that God is faithful, and that no matter what He calls you to do and leads you into, it is worth it. God's plan for your life is the best plan. It's way better than the plan that we can come up with for ourselves. And so be faithful, be obedient, press into God, bear fruit. Now is the time where history can remember greatness throughout eternity, but it remembers the bold, it remembers the brave, and it remembers the right. And so we need to stand firm on our foundation, the rock of Jesus Christ, and He will get the glory for our victory.
Amen.
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 Beautifully said, Stephen.
Thanks, fellas. Well, we're running a bit short on time here, but we have some time for final thoughts if anyone wants to jump in.
Well, I just want to say what a tremendous blessing it is to have this opportunity to minister with the three of you, Sergeant Tim, Stephen, and John. It is an honor for me to join you in this effort. And I look forward to what the Lord is going to do through this, not just in our lives, but most especially in the lives of those that will be listening.
Amen. Thanks, Pastor Mike. John, any closing thoughts?
I want to say, first of all, God bless you to my three brothers joining me here on the objective today. The final point I would like to make to all of our listeners and our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to those who are lost and who are scared as well. There among us in this alternative frontline media, there's no vanguard between what we are doing and what we need each and every one of you to do. There is no celebrity. Frankly, we don't buy it. We are accessible to you folks. I'll tell you right now, I can be reached on Twitter, Roberson John. That's RobersonJon. My email is RobersonJon@gmail.com. If you've got thoughts or ideas, even a topic that you'd like to hear us address on the objective, please reach out to me. The point that I want to conclude with is you often hear it said that we're all in the same boat. unfortunately, many who have ascended to a perceived state of celebrity or even internet stardom really present themselves as though they really aren't in the same boat. And I would gently remind them, and I would exhort all of you to realize not only are we in the same boat, but we are shoulder to shoulder and our white knuckles are wrapped around the same oars. We must hang together or we will surely hang separately. And finally, with regard to optical dissonance, it is a single definition with myriad examples. And if you're interested in that, folks, simply go to HagmanReport.com. Again, two N's on Hagman, HagmanReport.com. Type in the search bar, optical dissonance. There are a number of articles up now, and I plan to pin another over the next day or two that will focus on the riots this previous week in Berkeley, as well as the following night at Gavin McGinnis event in New York City. So please follow me at HagmanReport.com, just so that you have a good, clear understanding of optical dissonance and how to push back against it and let it enrich you rather than deceive you. Stephen and gentlemen, thank you so much for bringing me on The Objective today. God bless all of you folks. Be productive and be powerful. And remember, fear and faith do not coexist.
Amen. Thanks, John. Sergeant Tim, any parting words for the audience?
I'd just like to thank all of you for joining me or having me on The Objective with all of you. I feel so blessed to have each and every one of you in my life. For the listeners, I'd just like to point out once again, if you caught me and Stephen on just the two of us, that every one of us here is independently funded. There is no agenda here. What you're hearing is straight talk from a Christian point of view, covering events going on in this country. And if you would like to get in touch with me, my email address is SergeantTimOPN@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter. And once again, my website is outlawpatriotnews.wordpress.com. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks so much, Sergeant Tim. This is Stephen Menking signing off on behalf of Sergeant Tim of Outlaw Patriot News, John Roberson of the Hagman and Hagman Report, and Pastor Mike Spaulding of Soaring Eagle Radio and at Calvary Chapel in Lima, Ohio. I run the Amateur Society, but you can find all of our work in one place over at ontheobjective.org. So stay in touch, stay tuned, and God bless you all. We'll see you next time on The Objective.